Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Couple Speak Relationship Forum on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Susan Lager, a psychotherapist and coach at the Couple Center and Couple Speak in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where I broadcast live monthly on Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm back after a very long, lovely summer off the air and very eager to do this half-hour show titled When Things Fall Apart. In this episode, I'll be exploring the issue of how you manage the chaos and uncertainty which are often present when things fall apart, whether it's the result of an accident, a job loss, a family crisis, the death of a loved one, or a serious diagnosis. It could be any one of a number of things. I'll be discussing some key attitudes and behaviors which can really help to move pain and suffering into a transformative experience of learning, growth, and connection. First, a technical issue. If any caller has a question or comment that you'd like to share, please do by pressing 1 on your phone, and you will be in line to join me on the air. And I think what I'll do is take questions at the midway point in the shows for the purposes of continuity. In any event, what is the experience of falling apart? What are some of the aspects that would define falling apart as most people of us know it? It involves unexpected, unwanted change, disrupting life as you've known it. It often involves the loss of a job, the loss of a relationship, the loss of health, the loss of a business, or a death. It very often involves the loss of trust, discovering a spouse's affair, or the loss of a dream, a debilitating accident, a loved one's suicide, or a life-threatening diagnosis. It generally involves the loss of certain opportunities, the experience of diminishing opportunities moving forward. And inherent in the experience is the fact that predictable routines get disrupted and it challenges one's sense of self. We define ourselves by life as we have known it, generally, and when everything is thrown into disarray, it can really affect your whole sense of yourself. So it's very destabilizing. Often there's a realization of the impact of very bad earlier choices or mistakes one has made. So it can be very humbling, and it can produce guilt and shame about things one has done in the past. The future suddenly feels very uncertain, and security is not a given at all. These are just some of the things that, you know, I've read about and that I've come up with that I think really are inherent in the experience of things falling apart. I'd like to give you just a very brief example, and the first one is a very minor experience of it that I had a month into the summer, and it certainly is not on par with a death or, a major debilitating diagnosis, something like that, but it still was a mini experience of things falling apart. I broke my ankle. I won't say how. It's just, as I tell my clients, sheer stupidity, but I broke my ankle. And suddenly my experience of the second part of the summer was totally changed. I'm someone who really likes to work out and likes to be very active. And the family was leaving on a trip to Acadia where I had it all planned out in my head that we would go on the carriage paths and do biking in the mountains, we'd go kayaking, I would do morning runs and speed walks along the harbors, and suddenly everything was thrown into disarray. Suddenly I was in a cast, I was in a lot of pain, and I didn't know how long it would take me to heal, if my foot and my ankle would ever be the same again. And so it was a totally changed experience of the trip. I had to completely recalibrate my expectations for the trip. Now, there's a minor example. I can give you a more major one just very briefly. In 2003, I was diagnosed with eye cancer, ocular melanoma, which is probably one of the scariest diagnoses on the planet because, you know, you face losing your eyesight, you face having the eye taken out, and you face a cancer that can metastasize to your brain and your lungs. So that was another example of life as I had known it changing. And, you know, it really brought home to me the experience of things falling apart and some of the things I'll be addressing in this show. One of the things I would like to reference is a really wonderful book about this subject by Pema Chodron, Chodrun. She's a Buddhist leader and nun. She's a writer, and she's somebody who has transformed probably hundreds of thousands of lives with her wisdom and in her writings and her teachings. And in her book, When Things Fall Apart, Heart Advice for Difficult Times, she discusses the importance of cultivating wisdom, compassion, and courage around this experience. And what I would recommend that you get the book if you're not familiar with it, or you download it. It's When Things Fall Apart, Heart Advice for Difficult Times, and you can buy it through the link on my website, susanlager.com. You just go to my website and you click on my Amazon store, and it will take you right into Amazon, and then you just key in the book, you know, Pema Chodron's book. What I would like to do, though, is start the program with two of her quotes, which I think really capture the essence of the experience or the essence of the dilemma. The first one, things falling apart is a kind of testing and also a kind of healing. We think that the point is to pass the test or overcome the problem, but the truth is that things don't really get solved. They come together and they fall apart. Then they come together again and fall apart again. It's just like that. The healing comes from letting there be room for all of this to happen, room for grief, for relief, for misery, for joy. I really like that quote. I think it really says it. The other quote is this: to be fully alive, fully human, and completely awake is to be continually thrown out of the nest. To live fully is to be always in no man's land, to experience each moment as completely new and fresh. To live is to be willing to die over and over again. How's that for some wisdom? So I don't think I could say anything better than that, but I think that really captures it. What her, the main point that she makes, she points to the main problem, is that our expectations that life will go well if we do the right things or are good. And I think most people I know are guilty of that, that we just have presumptions about being rewarded with good behavior, for good behavior with good outcomes. And I think the culture, our culture in particular, promotes that. Just be productive, be good, be kind, and you'll have a good life. But what Chodron points to is that that's a childlike fairy tale. Instead, she talks about how we will be happier if we accept all the aspects of our lives and accept each moment as it is, that it's all part of being human. So I've come up with some tips from not only Chodron's teachings, but some things that I'm still very actively learning personally, and things in my work as a psychotherapist. The first thing I would recommend is that you manage your expectations. Try to normalize suffering as part of life. Challenge your assumptions about life. And a good example was, you know, challenging my assumptions about my trip to Acadia. And again, as I say, that was like a mini experience of things falling apart. But my assumptions that it would be so active and, you know, we would do so much outdoors and that I would be all part of that, it really forced me to rethink the trip and to kind of configure the trip in my mind. The second thing that I would recommend is to cultivate compassion, and not only for yourself, self-compassion, but compassion for other people. And I think it's really important when you have the experience of crisis to be really kind. Firstly, to be really kind to yourself. One thing I talk about all the time in my work with clients, and I'm very mindful about in my own personal life, is to watch your self-talk. Your self-talk is a window into how kind you're being to yourself or how rough you're being on yourself. Are you saying, are you beating yourself up, or are you talking to yourself the way a good friend would? And I encourage everyone to be gentle with themselves the way a good friend would, especially around, I mean, it's a good idea in general, when to push yourself and when to be more gentle, but especially when you have the experience of things falling apart. Be gentle with yourself and try to kind of calibrate or be aware of what you can manage and what you can't. That's not only about your self-talk, but really look at what feels manageable for you. As a general practice, I also recommend self-soothing behaviors to practice rituals of comfort, whether it's having a cup of tea or watching a movie or looking at a sunset or listening to soothing music, taking a bath, whatever it is, practice behaviors that are comforting to you, because in order for you to manage the pain and the suffering that goes with all this uncertainty and the chaos of a crisis, it's going to really be important for you to do what I call holding on to yourself. And one of the ways we hold on to ourselves is by being very mindful about what brings us comfort and soothing. I would encourage also you to use the experience to be more compassionate of others. This is an opportunity, as unwelcome as it may feel, for you to connect to our common humanity and to recognize that we are not alone. We are all connected. We all experience suffering. We all experience joy, relief, all of it. And to the extent that you can relate to other people and be in connection with other people, that will mitigate the experience of aloneness that you may feel. It will help you realize you are part of something much bigger, something really important, and you're part of our common humanity. Finally, in terms of, and it's not finally, but just the finally for the purpose of this brief show, I encourage everyone to practice the metta meditation of universal loving kindness. It's a Buddhist meditation, and I won't go into the details of it because it would take too long right now. But if you go to Sharon Salzberg's site, and her name is Salzburg, she has a site online. What you will see next to her name is an icon of a Buddha with the sun coming from behind him, and she recites it for you, so you can do it with her. You will learn it, and I encourage you to practice it, because what that meditation does is encourage you to be compassionate toward yourself and then to extend it outward, first to somebody who has a very positive influence on your life, someone you love. Then you extend it outward to somebody toward whom you feel neutral, and ultimately you extend it outward towards someone you have some issues with. So it really helps you develop self-compassion and compassion toward other people. And The third thing that I recommend is to cultivate courage, and Shodron talks about this in her book, that it's the courage is not about not being afraid, but it's about holding your fear, facing your fear, and pushing through it, acknowledging your fear, giving yourself space to be in it, and finding ways to push through it. And it's really important for all of us when we face a crisis to let the experience in. We're very tempted, especially in America, to anesthetize ourselves with shopping and drinking and all kinds of things that that get us away from the experience. But there's no detour around a major crisis. The only way is through it, by being in it, being in the moment, honoring it, and being present for it. So, I would encourage listeners to remember that you may not be able to control the circumstance that you're in, but you can control your reactions to it and the ways that you, the ways you react to it, the ways that you deal with it. So let it in. It seems counterintuitive, but the more you push against an experience, the more it bites you in the butt, the bigger it becomes. And the more you move with it and flow with it, you give it its due, nothing lasts forever. I mean, that gets to another Buddhist principle about impermanence. Nothing lasts forever. This moment will pass and it will lead to another moment that brings something else. Okay, at this point, I would like to, anybody who has a question or a comment, feel free to press 1 on your phone, and I would be happy to take you on the air. Okay. I'm accepting a call from someone beginning with a 917. Hello, caller.
Hello, Susan.
Hi.
First of all, I'm incredibly moved how you seem in some ways to, or in many ways, to embrace some of the Buddhist tenets. I am a practicing Buddhist, actually, and I think it's so wonderful that you are sharing some of the wisdom of Pema Chodron, who I'm familiar with. She's absolutely, you're right, she has really imparted such great information and compassion to so many thousands of people. And I just think this is such an important topic. I am currently going through a very scary medical problem, and you are so right, and being practicing Buddhist, I know how it is human tendency to want to push away what makes us uncomfortable, and that is what creates suffering with most human beings. We don't want to be uncomfortable and suffer. And what I have learned, do I always practice this? No. But what I have learned is that moving toward what you're really feeling is very important instead of pushing it away. You have to feel the feeling and move toward it with compassion toward yourself. Compassion is very key. And you said something early on, which I really, really can relate to. I think you said something inherent is when you are going through aspects of falling apart, your routine is disruptive. Oh, boy, do I know that feeling. And the uncertainty of future, and it's that uncertainty that makes us very frightened, because we like to feel secure about every moment, and life is not secure. It is impermanent. And somebody who I have tremendous love and respect for recently said to me, you know, and this really helped me, you know, you're not just a medical problem. There are other parts of you. And that really helped compartmentalize things for me. No, I'm not just a human being, right? I'm having an experience that's scary, but that's not the only part of me that I bring to myself and to the people in my life. And that really, really helped me. I also think what also helps is being receptive to people's love and nurturing. And that's something that is very hard for me. It's probably hard for other people as well. But Thank you so much, because I think this is such an important topic that people usually don't want to talk about. Am I right?
I know. Oh, I so appreciate your sharing. I'm so sorry for your crisis, but it sounds like you are very wise, and as a Buddhist, you are probably much better equipped than a lot of other people, at least in terms of an understanding of this, to face this in ways that a lot of people would just run from it. So I really appreciate sharing that statement by the friend. I think that is really true, and it sounds like it was very helpful to you, that you are not defined. None of us are defined by the immediate crisis. It's the immediate thing that's happening in our life, and it's only one aspect of a very large life that encompasses joy and all kinds of other things. So I'm really glad. You also brought up another point that I'm going to get to, which is the importance of leaning into supports. I'm very glad that it sounds like you're doing that and that you know about that. That is really critical in this, that one not isolate, that one really leans into, one communicates one needs, and I think of it as cashing in on the investment that you've made in relationships. So hopefully you've invested in relationships and allowing oneself to receive help and comfort. So I'm so glad that, thank you so much for sharing. I'm really touched.
No, not at all. Thank you for sharing. I was so moved. I actually have not read this particular book, Pema Chodron's When Things Fall Apart. It's been recommended to me many times, but I was so moved by those two quotes. So I know I'm going to be reading this. It's she does wonderful, wonderful work, as obviously you embrace her as well. So thank you so much, because this is really so important. Not
and
at all.
All the
you,
best.
Susan.
Okay.
Thank
bye-bye.
You so much. Bye bye.
Now, before I wrap up, believe it or not, it's I'm getting to the place where I'm going to need to wrap up. Our caller really talked about one of the things that I strongly recommend, which is, the tendency is to kind of hide under a rock when you're in this situation. Often we feel that, oh, I feel miserable, so people are going to think of me like the plague. They're not going to want to be around me. We're very much at risk for projecting onto other people our own experience of feeling like a mess, or that we're just too much, or we're too sad, or we're too stressed. And again, check those assumptions and those presumptions. People, if you have cultivated relationships that have any depth and any closeness, the people who love you are going to want to do something to help you. It creates a lot of helplessness for loved ones when people going through a crisis isolate. It's not good. So, as my caller said, it's really important to reach out and allow yourself to receive help and comfort. I know in my little mini crisis, as small as it was, it's still with the ankle, and in the big one in 2003 around my eye cancer, I had to, I'm someone who has the illusion of being very independent, and I can manage everything. I'm hyper responsible, etc. But both situations and other crises in my life have taught me a lot about the importance of receiving help, allowing myself to be vulnerable, and allowing the people around me to stand up and be there for me. So that's really a critical point my caller made. Two other things that I would recommend is, one, to be open to new experiences and new ways of doing things. So in other words, ask yourself, you can focus on, why is this happening to me? Why does this, what did I do wrong? That gets into the fantasy, the childlike fantasy, that if I was just good enough, nothing bad would happen. Instead, I think it's really useful to ask yourself, what does this experience open up for me? As unwanted as it may be, as scary or painful as it may be, what kind of ironic gifts might this experience bring? Might I learn new skills? Might I develop a new sense of community? Might I, you know, I know for me, in, you know, some of my crises, it's really taught me about the importance of slowing down. It opened up the possibility of moving more slowly and in a more nuanced way. Just that was just one little thing, but be open to the kind of ironic gifts that you may get from this experience. We all hear from, often we hear from people who have had cancer. They will talk about it at some point in the experience, talk about the gifts the cancer gave them. And it's because that they were able to look at, well, as horrible as the chemo or the radiation might have been and as scary, there were things that I got from it, that things I learned and things that I was open to that I might not have been open to. A final thing, and this, again, final, just for the purpose of this show, because it's just a half-hour show, but the final thing that I came up with for this show was to cultivate wisdom. And Pema Chodron talks about that's what we're all called upon to do when things fall apart, to learn. And what can you learn from the experience? And I know that in my eye cancer, the lesson for me was to appreciate my body and my life more. That before I had the eye cancer, it never occurred to me that I shouldn't take certain things for, you know, my health and life as I had known it for granted, and that we tend to skip along and just make assumptions about our lives. And it's really important for all of us to, and maybe the learning, by the way, maybe the learning is, all right, what has it taught me about what I have been doing so far or what I've done in the past that has not ultimately worked for me? Is there a lesson? Is there something I need to do differently as I move forward? So I think that's really an important point. And we are out of time. I don't see any other questions or comments, so that's probably just as well because we're out of time. These shows go like lightning. What I would like to thank my listeners and my callers. There are other people here on the line, but nobody asked a question. But I would like to thank you, and I hope this show has been useful to you. I hope you resonated with it. And whatever difficulty you may be facing, I hope that it sort of cast it in somewhat of a different perspective. And if you feel like you need support, again, get support. That's one big one, whether it's from family or friends. If you need professional help, there are therapists out there. There are, you know, religious leaders out there who are available to provide support. If you feel like you need support through a crisis, feel free to call me at my office at 603-431-7131 for an appointment. And my next show will be, let's see, when is it going to be? Wednesday, October 8th at 8:30 p.m. And I will be announcing within the next few weeks, okay? So good night to all of you. And, you know, I hope if you have a crisis or if you have the experience of falling apart that you've been able to take some things from this. Take care. Bye-bye.